science, by definition, allows for more than one opinion. Otherwise, you merely have the will of one man, which is the basis of cult.
If it's not in the frame, it doesn't exist.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I illusion.
Where you been?
Drunk. Wendy? Billy! Darling? Light of my life.
What is your one purpose in life?
To explode, of course.
I like death with sex. How about you, Casey? You like sex with death?
Get some fuck up and die.
I'm a little drinky boy. If you don't know,
yeah,
everyone out there, you don't know by now.
Dude, it's the water of life. Did you watch Dune 2?
I know. Yeah, of course I saw Dune 2. Oh, we didn't talk about that at all. What? Well, I hope that David watched Dune 2 so that we can talk to him about it.
Yeah,
if not,
we'll say
I'm just going to say, it is the water of life, dude. I choked my worm during the movie, so I know all about that, baby.
Big time, yeah. The best scene. This is the Cult of Cinema Knowledge podcast. That's Jordan the Worm Choker over there.
Am I your lieutenant? Am I your lieutenant?
Yeah, my lieutenant. I'm Leroy. And today, so it's just the two of us again.
I know.
So
yeah,
God help us.
We're back. So, the two grease boys.
I don't
back.
Know. We were really unhinged. Did you listen to the last episode?
Coda was great. Everyone, I recommend you go listen to Coda. One of our finest productions.
Yeah,
I really liked it.
Yeah, that's fun. It was a good time having Mary on, but it's back to us two schlubs, so you better get fucking used to it if you're listening and enjoying it.
I know, you were like, oh, it was too tender and soft. Oh, you had a woman's point of view. Now it's back to men.
Yeah.
Men on ships, baby.
Finally.
Oh, my God, I was...
White men can actually have an opinion.
Yeah. God, I know, honestly. Can I get an amen from Corinthians?
One
five?
It's about time, you know? One for the white men. Anyway.
God, I know. And speaking of which,
yeah. Anyway, see, I told you this. This month, if you didn't know, we are watching ocean-based movies, things that take place in the sea. So this first movie we watched is Master and Commander, Far Side of the World.
I know why it's that long. Yeah, I know exactly. Which is funny because we love the assassination of Jesse James or the coward Robert Ford, and we say the whole title, but we say that with pride.
We like long titles, but like this is just two titles shoved together. But
it literally is two titles put together, which is so weird because so this is a movie that's adapted from novels, from books, from. Mm-hmm. And kind of just from history, I guess, if you will. But it's like the two books are, one is called Master and Commander, and then the other book is called The Far Side of the World.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they like if there was like a rights issue, if somebody was like, well, I want my title. And we'll just do both.
Yeah, from what I read, because I had to look it up while I was watching this movie, because I'm like, is this movie like, is it actual historical? Because it like... The setup and the production is very much like starts off. It's like 1806 in the fucking seas during the Napoleonic. Like it feels very like, oh, this could be a true story. So I had to look it up and I'm like, oh, no, this is just a fictional character. That's like a series of he's Jason Bourne of the fucking Napoleonic Wars and the sea captain. And apparently there's like 30 novels about fucking old Lucky Jack. And which tracks. I mean, this movie feels like his character feels like he's plucked right out of one of those. So I was gonna write a synopsis. I actually started writing it, but then I got sidetracked and gave up. So I didn't know who it was anyway, but I was like, I'll do it. But
with Mary here, we kind of just.
Yeah, well,
we didn't go back and forth.
We'll wing our way through it for those of you who have not seen the movie or it's been a while and you need a little refresher. But I don't have names or anything in front of me. I'm going to see if I can do it from memory. So, and with Jordan's interjections, of course. So, Master Commander follows Captain Lucky Jack Aubrey, right? Audrey or something?
Yeah. Aubrey, you nailed it.
And you know, he's a captain for an English warship during the Napoleonic Wars of the early 1800s. And he is commanded to find this French ship. I forget what it's called, but either way. He finds to find this French ship, and one morning they get ambushed by the ship, basically. He comes out of the fog and fucking just cannon blasts the ship and, like, just fucks their shit up, but it's okay. And so they make repairs, and they give chase basically right away to follow this ultimate ship. And then luckily a couple other guys on the ship were there during the creation of the other ship. So they're like, here's the model of the ship. And so he's like, my God, this is the most advanced warship I've ever seen, you know? So,
well, and it is really cute. It's a cute story because the two creators, the, oh my gosh, I don't even know what they call them, a craftsmanship or something, but they're like the two guys that saw the ship. Yeah. They're like, oh yeah, I was at my cousin's wedding on the dock where they were building, where they were erecting this ship, you know, where it was going to be docked. And it's like, it just happenstance that they were there.
Convenient.
So they knew that it's double hauled with it's double support. And so they're like, oh, we could barely scathe the beauty. You know,
it's too fast. And it's like 2 straight feet of the toughest wood.
It's literally the newest ship built during this period.
It's a fucking super ship. Moving on. It's a fucking super fast ship.
It's the Phantom.
And they call it the Phantom. And their ship is the Surprise. And it's not an old ship, even though the one guy says, isn't this an old piece of shit? And he's like, no, this is she's a good ship. She's a mighty ship.
they're into their ships.
So this ship full of children makes its way across the sea chasing this other ship because it had attacked a whale. And they're going all this distance, and his the doctor, I forget his name, but he's also
it's
Lucky Jet Stevens something.
Yeah,
he is kind of like a friend, has been on many, you know, campaigns with Lucky Jack. So they're kind of familiar with each other. They play music together. He's the only one that kind of gives them the back and forth. They eventually make their way to the Galapagos Islands, and it's pretty uncharted at this time. So he's like a scientist and a naturalist, and he's like, whoa, look at all these undiscovered creatures. And Lucky Jack's like, yeah, well, when we get there, you can check it out and we'll have some time. But then he's like, no, I thirst. Never mind. We found some whalers and we're
duty. Yeah. I mean, you've got, Jack is bound to duty. He's doing everything for
man
and country.
Yeah.
Right. And that's his archetype. And so he's chasing the ship. And so the one thing this movie captures really well is the passage of time is really great because Jack is a really good seaman. He's out there and he knows how to track a ship, but he tracks it with weeks and weeks in between because it's the other ship is so fast and it just continues to go. And it's this movie does a good job at capturing just the breadth of the ocean and the depths.
It does,
and,
very stuck at sea.
A lot of maps, too. If you want to look at the maps, that's pretty much Jack pours over the whole time. He's always looking at maps, and when they find the Galapagos, it's kind of it's cool to see them, build their tactic around staying at the Galapagos, getting off, being able to hang out, and it gives the men some time to kind of breathe and play and get off the ship because everyone's getting a little stir crazy. Because what happened? There was somebody.
The doctor got shot.
The doctor got shot, but then there was a lower level lieutenant who wasn't getting treated well, and there was almost a mutiny on there because he wasn't commanding his ship. So, the ship is wild because it takes I don't know. He's
there's the
captain who you
the
follow.
The one lieutenant was sort of weak, seen as meek, and he's like, you got to step up. Everyone thought he was the Jonas of the ship, which is the cursed sailor that because they kept not having wind and no rain, so they were all didn't have any water and they were really struggling. And then so he kills himself, and then it actually turns out suicide's awesome. So it rains, and apparently he was actually cursed. I don't know, but everyone's he's dead. And then they promote some other young child
involved with this. It's great. Yeah.
At one point earlier on, the other ship gets behind them and is hunting them, and they kind of do a little trickery to kind of lead it off by doing the little fake sail.
It establishes like Jack's ability to navigate the seas well, and he knows the ship really well.
Yeah.
And it's cool because there's a lot of camaraderie within all the crewmen, all the seamen on here really like follow Jack and like they respect him. And that's felt throughout the whole movie where like they're, you know, he has a firm grip, but he's also like, you can't be too.
He's definitely got laughs and he's nice. They follow him because they like him and they trust him, and he definitely
he's
is
a gentleman.
Very, yeah, he is
sure.
Gentleman Jack Shirley. So anyway, eventually Doctor gets shot. They actually do stop at Galapagos eventually to perform, so he can perform surgery on himself off of the ship, and he does discover some animals and all that. But then he sees the other ship, and so they kind of book it out of there to chase the other ship. And he's telling Jack about the bug, the stick bug, and he's like, he disguised himself. And Jack was like, oh my God, I got to disguise my ship. So they disguise themselves as a whaling ship so they can get close to the Phantom ship. And so they're like, pretend like they're going to surrender, like, oh, we're just a whaling ship. And the other ship's like, we're going to loot you now. And then as soon as they get close, they're like, psych, we're actually the British. Aha! And they pull out their flags and there's a big old battle at the end, and eventually, you know, they take the ship, and he gives the command to the ship to one of his other guys. And there's also a kid that's got one arm he lost earlier on in the movie, and he's pretty dope, and he's more of a leader than a lot of them, even though he's like 12. But he like goes on and like basically got a fucking knife in his mouth and a pistol in his hand. There's just one empty hand.
Yeah,
but he takes the ship, and then at the end they're like, "Oh, the captain's actually dead," and then he got psyched out, which honestly just kind of doesn't matter. But it ends with like, you think it's gonna, you know, he's like, "All right, I finally got the ship," and then he finds out like, "Oh, the captain actually was alive, and he tricked you. That wasn't actually the captain." And so he's like, "Oh, just kidding. We gotta give. We're back at it again to the far side of the world." And then it just, you know, then he goes because he can never give up.
It ends on a jaunty tune.
Yes, it does. You know, the doctor's feeling better after he performed a surgery on himself, and so they can play music again, and everything's just a-okay in the world.
Yeah,
and they're back on the hunt, which is the only time they truly feel alive.
That's my main criticism is like, this movie is just so like how they made this story is fantastic, and I really liked it. I kind of wish that there was a little more like focus on them trying to find the ship, but I think it's fine. I like the story. I like the pacing, but the ending, it's like, I feel like that climax happens so fast, and it's like, the battle's so brutal, and it actually honestly feels like too fast. I feel like it like just kind of like, which is, you know, which I guess kind of is a credit to the scene where it's a frenzy and you're just doing this.
I like the abrupt violence earlier on makes sense because they're always on the underhand. And it's like that opening scene with is that the ship in the fog? Like, what is that?
Dude, that was amazing. The tension building.
Yeah.
And like,
that was the best.
The attack. And then like them, like that was the true to me. That was like, I was starting to like just grin and be like, lucky Jack, man. Like, he just, because all the times they're like, my God, he's the greatest captain ever. Yeah. Like, he can, you know, it's like he knows this beauty like the back of his hand, and he's gliding across the beautiful serene blue.
And he's always there with a joke, and he's always there with an uplifting something to be like.
He'll be the first to get down in the grog and razzle up some of the men, and like, I don't know, yeah. It like, he's great, and I love him, but it's like that beginning, that first, like, the first 20 minutes of the movie was like probably the best.
Is the best.
Like, depiction of them working on a boat and like working together, and like that just like, and showing how skilled he is, because he's not super egotistic. Like, he has like a big ego, and he's like he's proud.
Well, he's fair, but he's also
foiled by pride.
Yeah, he's also weirdly
humble. He knows when to retreat, and he knows like, okay, we'll retreat. And this is like, he knows the chess game that is a ship battle. He's like, okay, we have to retreat now into the fog because we are damaged, and like we have to get like a status report on what just happened.
It's the long game.
Better prepare. Yeah. It is the long
ship
game.
Naval 1800s naval battle is not. It is the long game, especially if you survive, you got to know when to live to survive another day.
But I love that. I love that he was able to back away and take off. And then I'm glad that that didn't become. I was nervous that it showed like his pride at the beginning, and I thought that they were going to do it, which they kind of showed a little bit with the guy going overboard and stuff, and it's like he pushed too far, he was trying to go against nature, in that storm. But anyways, it's like I'm glad that wasn't his downfall. I'm glad this wasn't a tortured character that ends up losing. I'm glad that it was kind of a happy ending.
Yeah, I mean, everything I'm gonna say is gonna make it sound like what we were last week, where it's I wish it was darker or whatever.
I've been watching The Terror, and I'm The Terror is just so. The Terror has so much time to breathe and to be brooding and cool.
There wasn't nearly enough scurvy in this, you know what I mean?
Right. But the terror is a supernatural, and it is a completely different movie. And so this got me itching though for some more boat movies, man.
Yeah, well, that period of naval exploration, you know what I mean? It's the world, many parts of the world were, that's why it's far side of the world. There are parts that were unclaimed, whereas now it's we know every inch of the world.
They were claimed, but
not mapped or anything. You know what I mean? That's what I mean.
Right. Yeah.
But now I can Google Earth a fucking butthole in the Galapagos Islands. I can look right up one of those iguanas' asses.
I love those iguanas, man. Those iguanas were dope, dude. The big old pile of iguanas.
But now let me back it up. So this is obviously our first time watching it, and.
This is my second technically. I saw it in theaters.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, remember? Yeah, remember I told you I saw this in theaters. The only thing I remember about this is that scene when he has the weevils. They talk about weevils.
Oh, you did say
and
that.
And I I couldn't. It's like I remember liking that scene, but I only saw this movie once in theaters because it was at a point where I was Russell Crowe is kind of a joke. And now I've definitely softened on Russell Crowe. I think he's fine. He's still unhinged, but I liked him in Nice Guys and stuff.
I was about to say Nice Guys is his best movie.
right.
And that's more recent. But no, this was my first time anyway, and it was I feel like I liked this movie. I might go back and change my rating because it's I liked this movie. I liked how accurate it felt and how authentic it felt, and the cinematography was very soft. Everything felt very natural lighting, but. Yeah. It's narratively, it started off so strong, and then it's just I do think it had some pacing issues. I feel like if they would have cut some of the, I don't know. I liked the camaraderie and the mirth and stuff like that. So it's I don't know if I would have wanted that cut, but it's just I feel like it would have been more of an affecting movie if it was a little bit more of this tense instead of constantly taking breaks to have dinner parties and then explore the Galapagos twice. Essentially,
That was the there was so much doubling back and stuff, and that was kind of it's cute and funny, and I understand why it was written like that.
Yeah.
But it was kind of you're doing a disservice to tightening up this.
Well, it feels like two books because one book is them exploring, and it's the relationship between him and his men, and especially him and the doctor, and it's how he takes back his promise to let him go on the island and because of his his unrelenting obsession and his pride essentially. And then also there's the cat and mouse game between the ship, and it does feel like kind of two separate movies sometimes. There's periods of time when I was like, oh yeah, they're chasing the ship.
Yeah.
Because it's been a year. You know what I mean? The movie, it's been a fucking 10 months or something. And then they're like, oh, yeah, there's a whaler over here that the ship. And then Russell Crowe's like, oh, yeah, I'm on the hunt, you know?
Yeah.
But that's not even my biggest issue. My biggest issue, I think, I had to ponder it because I couldn't quite put my finger on it to start. But it's the tone and the themes. It is very light, but it's very much God and country, huzzah! But really what's actually happening, if you strip it down on paper, you're like, no, this guy's obsession is getting children murdered. like people are dying. Like right at the beginning, you barely, like the one kid loses his arm and he's like, God bless you, Lucky Jack, you know? But there's like nine yeah. dead and like 40 wounded. And he's just like, we must press on because of my obsession. And he's only ever called on it once by the doctor, who's like, maybe you're a little obsessed. And he's, and then the doctor's immediately proven to be in the wrong. And he's like, well, it's good to be obsessed because if you follow yeah. through, then that's the American way, even though, you know, British well, or whatever. But
sure, the it's, British, it's the colonizer's the way.
That, yeah, that, it's the
for the colony. Yeah,
it's about, you know, it, yeah. for, like duty. We said, for it, duty. Yeah. And, right. and it's like that. I don't know. That rubbed me the wrong way because it's like I'm fine with a movie that's like about duty and like the course of like action and like the team that he's built and like strong leadership. Like that's all fine. But it's just like the fact that it's like they just breeze right over the fact that it's like these men are at sea. They're at the edge of a mutiny. There's the one guy that says that the hold fast tattoos guy that oh, that got his like sick, brain dude. Operated
he gets
on.
The, yeah. Well, dude, they put that pence in his brain to yeah. like hold his skull, like yeah. to replace yeah. his skull. And it's like, and then he just becomes a prophet or whatever.
So cool.
Like, yeah, that guy's dope.
But I don't know. And it's like, I know that would have affected the tone, but it definitely felt like how it was portrayed was not matching the tone of the actual actions that were happening. And so I was like, nobody, like, I don't know, like, this is bad. What he's doing is bad. You know what I mean? Like, his obsession yeah. is destroying these things, but it's we're going to go off on another, and it literally ends with like, ha ha, I have more men to kill. Ha ha, well, let's yeah. go, men. And they're like, fuck, yeah. I want to get back to my families. I've been at sea for 2 years. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. This is definitely like the Disneyfication.
I lost my arm.
Of the high seas. Yeah.
yeah.
Like it is. It's a lot of like high tails. And like, and I agree. Yeah. I wish that was one thing
that's
that
fine,
I definitely was
like,
missing. Sure.
Yeah,
but
no
I
balance.
Was missing the, like you're saying, the crew felt they were like, I don't need a mutiny to happen during this movie. Like that kind of derails the story, but it would have been nice to have like literally everyone on the ship. Everyone was like, he's, you know, he might be a little kooky, but he's gets shit done. He's amazing. Where I'm like,
right.
like, there'd be so many people who are like, I'm a literal slave, because there were a lot of literal slaves on that ship. And it'd be
yeah.
like,
they're like in the next room, like, just sweating, and they're on there having yeah, a dinner and, party and shit.
Yeah, right. And it's like, yeah, you'd, and even like, that's like the Terror does that really well, where it's like, the crew are like, well, I'm here. I'm getting paid to do this. I barely, you know, I'm getting food and shelter. And then this is like, I'm just in this. Like I was drafted to do this yeah. and are, you know, and, well, or I'm a slave. And so it's like,
well, the resentment, right? Like there's no, right. like, I feel like that does kind of come with it. And that's what I'm saying. It's like one time they mentioned, he was like, we don't want a mutiny on our hands from like letting this kid be insubordinate. Right. So they whip him. And then,
oh, right.
But like, that's such a small scene they breeze over because there's no hint of a mutiny, really. The one kid is an asshole, but then he gets whipped, and he's like, yeah, you're right, Captain. I was in the wrong. Yeah. Good thing you whipped me. And then he dies gloriously at the end battle. You know what I mean? That one kid, same
yeah.
kid.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was fine.
right. This is very like, I think what's like, I'm so forgiving because it's like propaganda, but for like, you know, the history. I mean, it's like how many hundreds of years ago. So it's like, whatever.
I think
like,
Disneyfication is a good kind of a way to put it. It does really kind of put the spin on it to be like more of seeing it through the rose tinted glasses. And that's fine. You know what I mean? I'm fine with that. It's just interesting. Cause it's like, you have this like very happy rose tinted thing, but then at the same time you have like this very naturalistic, like goes through the process of like what the ship is actually like, very authentic, down to them scrubbing with the stones.
Well, and that's
and,
the whole thing.
And
I feel
bloody,
like, I feel like Peter,
bloody for a PG-13 movie.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But I think historically you can get away with that a little bit.
Well,
but I think that's Peter Weir probably just wanted to make, a nautical themed, like how to guide, like how to, like basically he was probably trying to shoot them working on a real ship. Yeah. And then they were like, no, we got to like have a story, bud. There's something in there. And he's like, okay, I'll give you this, like this, you know, kind of fairy tale-esque
yeah.
story with everyone. Yeah. Like, yeah,
it's cool. I definitely,
yeah, It's definitely, it doesn't have a weight to it.
Yeah,
but it's got, it's beautiful, and that's, you know, like, yeah, it's definitely,
it's airy, you know, for sure. It's definitely, yeah, like you said, there's not the weight, but overall, it's got like, it's got a vibe, and the fact that there's so little, like movies that are within, like, it has very little peers, like the Terror, like everything else is either two
peers.
That's right.
They don't. There's not one pier to be seen in this movie. Right. It's all crags and ocean.
It is. It's just like horrible barren islands.
Yeah.
Any land you see is horrible barren islands. But
which is funny though, because when they get to the Galapagos, I was like awestruck. I was like, "This is beautiful. It's crazy.
It's cool."
How, like,
yeah.
Like when they, yeah, and it's funny because I'm like, "Oh, there has not been land." Until like an hour and 20 minutes, hour and a half uh-huh. into the movie, there isn't like a spot of land. And so I actually appreciated that.
Yeah,
like, oh,
same. And I mean, that's, we, like, that's the theme of the month.
Oh,
baby.
I guess. Oh, well, I lied. I guess they go to that island. So they show them there is a coast that they show, but it's not like it's not like land. And that part was actually, when that part did happen, I remember being like, oh wow, it's cool. It's beautiful. And it's cool. It's like tropical, and like if I was smart enough, I would actually know how accurate it is to like where they were. Like it would be cool to know, like
geographically. I mean, that's why it felt real though. This felt like
in the fiction, because I knew like where they shot. They did shoot a lot of like
right
around Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, in the fiction,
and then
like
in California,
when they would pull up the maps and they were going around South America and shit, like
right, and they would film. Yeah, it's cool. It's like when you film a movie on the ocean, the number one rule. Don't film it on the ocean.
Literally, right?
It's like film as little as you can on the ocean and then shoot the rest on a lot, because that's like, yeah, to have any
bit
of control.
Did they film it on the ocean? Did you?
They've only filmed like maybe 10% of it on the ocean.
Yeah, the way it was shot definitely seems like they shot definitely low.
But,
you know what I mean?
But the shit that's crazy is that the storm scene was like a real, they went and they filmed like a real crew that was like, it's like a real live contemporary ship that was on there, and then they were all dressed like poorly dressed in the clothing to look like it, and so they shot all those wide shots, and that was in a real storm.
Oh, cool.
So that's pretty crazy, like, because the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm like god, and there's a lot of times where I'm like, oh, this is, you know, it's like, because it's slightly dated. I mean, this is 2003, and it was right when computers are getting really good, and right when they were smart enough to blend real and CG together to kind of make it seamless. And so there was a lot of times where I'm like, man, I can't tell if this is CG. And then every once in a while, they would shoot like a lot of stuff directly on the ship showing the ocean. I was like, oh, okay, this is CG coming through here. You know, and it's like the probably real rainwater, but then
the waves are
exaggerated.
That's what I noticed, because we talked about it last time. We were talking about like if it was CG and like all that, and how much practical, because there was a lot of practical looked like.
Oh,
but,
so much practical.
But all the CG, as you say, wasn't like computer generated. Everything, they just had a really good use of compositing.
Which is still
like computer effects, but it was interesting because I was like, the splashes were composites a lot of the time, I noticed. But they looked really good, and it's like, if I wasn't like the film genius that I am, I would, you know, I definitely would have never noticed, but I was like, oh yeah, that's
right.
A composite.
Well, and
a lot of the
cannon fire, I'm like, I wasn't 100% sure. I'm like, oh, okay. Cause I mean, they used a lot of authentic.
Some of it definitely,
weaponry.
Definitely was composited too, but.
Well, of course. And that's, but there are some times where it's like. It's like shooting for effect when it's like in the fog blowing and like in the smoke and stuff for those really pretty shots. It's like that clearly. It's like, well, that's just, you know, that's fake because it looks good fake. Yeah. But there's some times where they're shooting at the boat and I'm like, God, they're really just blasting wood right now. Like it's
that's,
pretty cool.
Dude, how splintery everything is. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love how splintery cannonballs are. It's great.
How they got all the Foley is they would take old. They went to like a British naval base and took old true like 12-pound cannons, and they rigged up a bunch of sound equipment to them and just fired off a bunch of shots and like ripped them through a bunch of like, you know, made up plywood pieces of, you know, like actual like wood and timber and stuff, and they like really just authentically shot it to get like so that like the sound is super rich. Like I wish I watched it with my headphones because I was like, oh man, this is like beautiful. I'm sure it's like cinematically or like you know in a full theater.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure this won best sound at the Oscars that year. I was looking up.
It won two Oscars. Right?
Yeah, it was like best sound. It was like best sound mixing and because that's before they combined it to one thing. It was like best sound mixing and best cinematography, I think. Because
oh shit,
this definitely had
rip to this movie, man. Because this movie, I'm like the fact that this movie didn't clean up and win all eight categories that it was in is crazy to me. But it was against Lord of the Rings, so you gotta like you can't.
Yeah.
It's like Lord of the Rings really is. I just listened to a podcast. If you listen to What Went Wrong, to plug somebody else, whatever, it's phenomenal. They're like a. They just kind of deep dive into like.
I'm wearing a Last Podcast on the Left T-shirt. So.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, right. Of course.
We'll plug whoever.
Yeah, and I love it too. Is it's like yeah, What Went Wrong? They do like a two or three parter on. They do a three parter, I think, on the Lord of the Rings, and it really is like outside of the crazy ass billionaires back in like the 30s and the the 20s, those people who are making movies that it's like. A movie has not been made like Lord of the Rings.
This is a
we talked about it a little bit on our personal podcast.
Yeah.
Go listen to that one.
But, I know this is a little bit of a sidetrack, yeah. But I did see someone saying about Dune Part 2 that like if it comes together like this feels like the closest thing to like a big epic like since Lord of the Rings. You know what I mean?
Part three, because it's one of those. Yeah, he was shooting it simultaneously, similar to Lord of the Rings, but. Yeah. Anyways, but we'll see how it goes.
Anyways, back to this.
I'm kind of like I'm surprised because if this movie came out a year before or a year after, I feel like it would have done a lot better. Even though it did, I mean, it made it to the Academies. It did, and it like this is a movie that surprisingly failed at the box office, did really good at home video and really good afterwards. And it was scheduled to be a franchise. They were going to
make sense. They have like a ton of books to pull from, you know. Like.
Right. And they were gonna continue down and kind of build it. And I think that Disney, speaking of which, did that later. What, like a year later or something, or 2005? I don't know when did they do Pirates of the Caribbean? Because then like that became
It was like the next year, I think.
Yeah. So that became their like. I'm sure Disney just like took it over and just like yeah. But dude, and it's wild too. Peter Weir, he's been out of the game. He did this movie and then like two other movies since the last 20 years.
Since it's fresh in my mind, this is the time to bring it up. Like I do think this movie looks really good. It definitely goes the like Barry Lyndon route where it's like the very naturalistic lighting.
Yeah.
But like, so I gave it a pass on Dead Poets Society that like sometimes it looked like butt. But I swear to God, I don't know where Peter Weir, if he actually dredged up a couple film rolls from the depths of the ocean, because there are some shots in this movie that just like, and it's, I don't know. I watched the Blu-ray. And so it's just like, there's a couple exterior shots that I don't know if they gave the fucking, this film roll to the B team, but it's like the grainiest, scratchiest fucking weirdly, like, I don't know, like, there's some shots that I'm just like, this is beautiful, but obviously the film or something in the development process is whack. Like, there was some shots that are, like, were fucking crazy. And Dead Poets Society was the same, too. And so I'm like, did they just give Peter Weir, like, did they just give him, like, the B cameras or something? Like, because sometimes it's beautiful, but some of the, especially in low lighting, which I know that's a thing, but it's like, with film anyway, it's like, I don't know, some of them are. Some of the shots are like the quality of the fucking film is butt.
They gave them old
butt.
They're like, yeah, we've got some old like you know 58 developer. It's just whatever. I don't know, man.
They just found it under the water on the set, and they're like, let's use this. Also for Dead Poets Society, same thing because Dead Poets Society like oftentimes I don't know what it does.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was the same
same film roll from the 80s. He's like, we're going to film over the Dead Poets Society film. We need to save money, boys.
Yeah. They stripped it down and they're like, here we go.
They bleached it because that's a thing.
Yeah. Anyway. I know, right?
Now, it's
I don't know, man. It, I know what you mean. Like, there were some times where, like, know what? I was really bummed. I felt like as much as they showed the ship, it felt super tight, like literally framing wise. Like, every once in a while, you'd get a huge sweeping shot of the ship and of the ocean, you know, that the helicopter shot. And it's like, I loved that. I loved being able to see it for a minute. And I kind of wish that, like, and it's due to the fact that they didn't shoot on ocean very often, but it's like, there wasn't, like, I never felt like they were on a boat shooting the boat from the side. It always felt like they were on sticks, or they were, like, on a dolly track, you know, shooting it.
There's
a lot of times where it seemed like, I'm like, I want to see the full ship. I want to see its girth, baby. I wanted to see this whole thing, but it's like, you never really got.
Yeah, you're right. It was a very tight focal length. They were like on the ship, or they're right next to the ship, like so close. But it's just like, I want to see like a medium shot of the ship, like
And I feel like whenever we got that, it was like it was really tracking and it was following somebody, so it was really busy, which is fine. There's great movement. I mean, the cinematography is beautiful.
It's really good. Yeah, it's really good.
And it like yeah, I like I loved it, and it like it just it did. It felt kind of like 80s filmmaking. Like it had like a it was just kind of, it's like giving you the information, it's not giving you the beats. The like kind of now contemporary film, there's a like we almost to a fault will like it emphasizes on something and kind of slowly pushes in, and sometimes it like stays on something a little too long in like, you know, in films nowadays. But
I'm not asking for like Yorgos Lanthimos where it's like now it's a fucking fisheye lens or something, but It does feel like they had one lens, they had an old film, a roll of film, and they made it work, because obviously it's got good cinematography, but like it does definitely, I don't know, like I do wish, I think it's just a lack of this type of movie, because it's like, I loved spending time on the ship, I loved the authenticity of like these men at sea, the hard life of it.
The boats are beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. The other movie.
Do you know what's crazy? Your authenticity. It's amazing. The kids playing in it they're 14 to 16 years old. Like if you see someone and they look young,
they are
100% because they went to like a British Film Academy and they just found all these like young students that were, you know, taking in acting, and they were like, you know, like they're be on this boat, you know, do it. And like, it's crazy. It's cool because it's like everyone had like a stunt person, so it's like when you look through the credits, it's like as many credits as there are like main cast, there's that of stuntmen. It's like cool.
Yeah, it felt weird at first because I'm like, why are there so many like literal children? Everyone's so young. But then I was like, oh, that's more to the authenticity. I'm just so used to seeing, you know, 30-year-olds playing 18-year-olds.
Yeah,
but I'm like, oh no, in real life it's like fucking soldiers are boys, like you know, soldiers are like fucking 18, and then even in the old, like the older times, right, because this is like fucking 1800, it's like they're young boys, like they're 14 and they're like literally it's wild, like but it's cool because I'm like, oh, that makes sense that they're just like on the ship and they have these jobs. And like the one kid gets promoted to lieutenant and he's like 16, the other kid, and then he dies at the end battle right after he gets promoted, which I like that.
But it was a tender moment. I liked when the boy was like, I'm going to stitch him up, the one armed.
And he's like, yeah, help me hold it, 'cause he doesn't have the, but they had the chat earlier about like, you know, the last one goes through the nose to make sure you're actually dead. But I was actually,
that guy was dead.
Well, I mentioned this briefly earlier where it's like, I feel like this was the era of like you could get away with more violence in PG-13 movies, because like Lord of the Rings also quite violent. Like the biggest thing is you could always be as violent as you want, just don't show the blood. And I'm like, this movie had a lot of like, like exploding boat parts and guys flying back, but there was also a significant amount of blood. Like when they walk into like the fucking operating chambers, there's just like blood everywhere. And
I was surprised. Is, like I said, historical. I bet it must be why they can get away with it.
Yeah,
like,
it felt, you know, very because
it's of the times.
Because that's the thing they always shy away from. They're like, you can shoot as many people as you want, but as soon as you start showing blood, then it's R. Right. You know, now it's an R rating.
Yeah,
and that's why they change the blood's color a lot of the time. But like, even the one, the like jolly fatter guy that's like one of the higher ups, like, and one of the only older people on the ship, he like steps right on the boat and gets fucking shot right in the head, like immediately.
Oh, right in the head. I know, right, yeah.
Which was dope, and I'm like, and it was like kind of shocking because it's like he's kind of a fun character and like a good side character. And
well, and it, yeah, and it definitely, yeah, it gave that battle scene some weight. And that was, I appreciated that.
Because
I like really was like, yes. Oh, who's going to die? Like, I thought the doctor was going to die
for sure.
Me too. Yeah, I definitely
when
was,
he
I
got
like,
shot
he
too,
should,
I was like,
he
oh.
should have died.
Yeah.
The doctor should have died because after he got shot and lived, I was like, oh, well, that's convenient. But then when I'm like, that the battle to me is so ridiculous because it's like they go in and it's brutal. It's a brutal hand-to-hand combat. And the doctor's just in there like, ha, on guard. Like, and I was like,
he's like recovering from surgery.
Yeah, he's like holding his wound when they cut to him with the dust is settling. And he's like, I ripped
a stitch, but it's all good.
Yeah.
I did it for fucking God and country. But yeah, that doctor was cool. I wish, because like, I think it would have been cool to have a series of this because it's like, it obviously ended on the note like they're still out there and he's like, hey, it's a flightless bird. It's not going anywhere. Let's hit the sea, boys.
No, I thought it was like, I'm like, you're getting too cheeky. Like, it was like,
hey. Let's jam, baby.
I know. Yeah, dude, no, they really like that their jam sessions. It was sometimes I was like, these guys are into their prog and they're like, you know, we might kill a few nameless Frenchies and then we might just jam on our loot, baby.
I know. lose a couple on the way, you know.
I know. Well, they're
somber,
like, we got like 100. There's like 190 people on this ship and they're like, we can lose 27.
Yeah, we can lose some. It's cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's like, I do, going back a little bit, it's like, I liked how, it wasn't even necessarily unpredictable, but like, when it was violent, it captured quite well, like, the boredom of being at sea for long stretches of time, but then like, the suddenness of violence in war, because it's like, you forget, like, they're not explorers, they're soldiers, you know what I mean? It's like, they do feel like explorers, because they're at the far end of the world. And so it's like, and they're like, you know, obviously like, oh, look at these new creatures and all this. But then it's just like, oh shit, we're in battle now. And it's like, yeah. I thought that was really effective, but that was the only, it did feel like that's the, when it felt good, but it didn't, it felt jarring every time they would talk about it. Cause it never felt like that somber. Like there are moments that are like, let's have a moment of quiet. All right, now we're gonna jam, and the best of two evils, you know.
Yeah, and like as it, yeah, I think that is where it is. It's like it's what they're showing, and then the tone. And I agree with that because there's times where I'm like, I wish there was a little more routine. We would get glimpses of their routine on the ship, but it's like the passage of time, as much as I could follow it. I was like, oh, okay, I understand the amount of time that's passing probably. But there are also times where I'm like, yeah, there's like so much, like to go, you know, just keep going back to the terror. That really shows like the boredom that ensues from being on the ship. And they discuss a lot of rations and the period of time that they're going to be there together and like how long it's going to be. And like the weight of that, of just the time of the boredom, that is what kills. That's what causes mutinies. That's what dissolves trust with the captain.
Yeah.
It's just that boredom of like, it's like, okay, we're going to be on the ship for a year. It's like a year just looking
at
the same people.
I wanted, I wanted more because there's that scene when they do go to the island and they're playing like cricket or baseball or whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. But there wasn't the scene before that where they're like, we really need to blow this steam off. So they're just like, it does feel like they're always just having kind of fun with it.
Yeah.
But it's like there should have been the scene where it's just like, yo, we're eating this fucking grog, this shit. It hasn't rained. We're all dehydrated. We're bleeding from our gums from the scurvy.
Yeah.
They're like, there's not going to be a mutiny, but the guys aren't happy. And then so when they get to the island, like I felt like I needed to feel that pressure release that would have happened naturally. But it's like there was never the internal pressure of the ship. So it wasn't as satisfactory of having that release of them being like playing ball on the island, which they do in the Terror, right? Where it's like, right, then they're playing like football or whatever. Soccer.
Yeah.
If you will. But and that's fine. I don't know. That movie would have been a different movie if it had like a more serious tone. It just felt weird because it's so authentic in like the production and the way the ship is, but I felt like the behavior and the framing definitely didn't feel authentic. Like, you know, it's like,
I think they tried to strike the balance of creating a fun moving piece. Like, cause it's like the idea of this movie is hella boring to like everyone, but like, I don't even know. A 36-year-old to like 80-year-old male. Like, I can't imagine like this striking, you know, a chord with anyone else. But I personally was like, I'm like, oh man, I wish there was more authentic speech on top of like authentic planning. Like, that's what the Terror has. The Terror has a lot of them. I mean, it's a little like Mad Men-y quippy, you know, and it's like, it's got that like almost like heightened period piece, but I enjoyed
it's
it
because it's got like Jared Harris
half
both
the
of
time
them.
Well, sure, right, that helps, but half the time I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about? Like, I have to like watch it with subtitles so I can be like, oh, I can keep up with it, because like half the time it's like their accents are thick, and then like their dialogue, they're talking about like, you know, 22 skippity doos and blowing the foghorn 86 times to like,
it's like over,
know,
200 over 200 years ago
it.
Russell Crowe's
like, oh, look, I spotted the boat over there. Let's go. You know,
there it is.
Tally ho. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But it does portray the authenticity, you know, but like, I wish there was more. And I think that's it. I think that's just like, this is where we're creating a theme here with our podcast. Where like, we're like, if it's trying to be like safe at all, we're like, no, don't be safe, man. Like, go hard, like really alienate, like be a Barry Lyndon, like really alienate the people, like don't let, I don't, you know,
like yeah, it's okay to be safe, but it's just like, we like it when our art takes risks. Like, art shouldn't be that safe, but it's like, I understand, like, honestly, I think if this movie was made today, that would be a criticism, though. People would be like, if you're going to make it this, like, make it raw, you know, like, if you're going to show what life is like on these fucking ships, they were dirty, dude. They were fucking, people were getting infections and like, you know, it wasn't like, it definitely feels like this crew walked off a PG Disney cartoon into like a real grimy pirate ship, or, you know, not pirate ship, but you know what I mean. Old timey Navy ship. and so it's good, but I still really, really like it, but I think it's just because I need more movies like this. There's not enough that fit. It feels really niche when I say it, when I'm like, I want more movies that like, but everyone agrees there's not enough pirate movies. There's not enough pirate fiction. It's not enough pirate games, because everything that's out there is sort of shitty. Like, I mean, you got Pirates of the Caribbean, but even then, that's like the biggest one, and it's like that's safe. Like, that's,
I mean, that's right. That's clearly, and that, yeah, that's a fairy tale. Like, that's a lot more whimsical, of course.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you're gonna, yeah. I mean, yeah, I know. I'm trying to think. There's like, I mean, there's that like Black Sails, and there's.
Have you ever seen? Was it In the Heart of the Sea? And it's like the tell of Moby Dick. That Moby Dick was inspired by. It's got like one of the Hemsworth brothers in it, but it's like the true story of like, they were on like that time period vessel
that got
like destroyed by a giant whale, and they were like trapped at sea, and they had to like resort to cannibalism and everything like that. They're like starving, and they got stuck on like an island and everything. Like, that movie's pretty good. But it's like, not enough of the boat. Like, the boat gets destroyed at the beginning. I'm like, I want a good, like, you know, fucking pirate movie at sea that's just raw dog. I want to see it raw dog.
Well, and I want a lot more like flag changes too and stuff. Like, this had a flag change, and it's like, it's all like, I don't want them to like say everything like, oh, we're taking this flag down to raise this flag, and this flag means this. But it would be kind of cool to have, like, to show more ceremony in how they do things. Like, to have, like, you know, it's like, because it's like, it's fun to watch everyone, like, extend the rope and, like, drop down the sails and, like, you know, I like watching the crew work. And that's something that I feel like we get in this, but it's like, it's cut. Like I said, there's not enough, like, not enough breath. It's like everything's cut to move, to keep moving. But
yeah, I would have liked that. But, you know, that's personal things. What
right. These are like just small critiques, really. Because I enjoyed it. And it's funny, the whole time we're watching it, Victoria's like, you like these kind of movies, don't you? And I'm like, I don't know why. I love like the 1800 period pieces that are like, they're like this. Like, I don't know, you know, like.
I mean, it's no fun. First know, Cow, but.
No, it's not. And that's what I mean. I love First Cow.
I like, just feel like we amazing. Had to mention it because I know that's what she was thinking.
Now it's now it's become the thing. Now we're bound by that. We've been yoked with First Cow. We have to mention it every pod. But
it's true.
Really though, First Cow's top notch on period piece.
Go listen to that episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you said earlier that this was a sort of a box office bomb. Give me a money minute.
Yeah, so I will read you the numbers, and it's funny because it's pretty good, but it was $150 million budget, which is huge.
Yeah, 20 years ago too, man. Like that, that was right before like we weren't in the MCU yet. Over $100 million was like a big deal.
Well, right, and for like.
Not a franchise like this.
To do kind of an interesting, to do like kind of a, yeah, to do a boat movie. Like Lord of the Rings makes sense to me. Like Lord of the Rings got, but no, it's crazy. Lord of the Rings for three movies, it only got like $350 million. So it really didn't get that much money.
But that's a crazy like fantasy epic. This is a very authentic, but it's like.
Right,
very grounded movie about fucking men at sea.
Yeah, and like, and they could have. I feel like I'm almost kind of like this is a rare time where I'm like, oh, that makes sense. I'm like, I'm almost like this could have been a, you know, $70 million budget. You know, this I really like.
He probably just bought the ship, like actually.
Well, no, and that's a cool thing. Yeah, it's in a museum now.
Oh,
but
cool.
It's owned by 20th Century or one of the. Yeah, I think it's Fox. It's owned by Fox, and they can just use it whenever they want. It's kind of on retainer, but, like, the museum gets it.
Oh, dope.
But anyways, also, real quick, did you notice that it's 20th Century Fox, Miramax, and Universal Pictures? So I don't know if that gave them extra money.
Yeah,
you know,
I did notice.
Somehow.
I did notice the Miramax and one of the other ones, because I was like,
no,
bigger than Miramax, but Miramax.
Yeah, well, it was like the first credit was 20th Century, and I was like, uh-huh. And then Miramax, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And then Universal Pictures, I was like, what is going on? What are these, like, where was one of them in bankruptcy at this time? Because, like, I don't understand why they're, like, all three of these, like, huge pictures. But anyways, yeah, so it was $150 million, and it grossed $211
million. Okay. But, like, it is like a, I mean, it's not dry, so I guess that's why. It's like, if they would have made it a dry, raw movie,
but,
like, it would have only made $50 million.
Its opening week, it only made $25 million.
Oh, and I bet so you that, they. I bet you they were freaking out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's what I'm saying. It's like that's where I think it's a flop. I only think it made $100 million. From what I was reading on here, it said that it made $93 million, and then gross worldwide $211 million. So like I don't know if it really. I think they probably were like, "Oh, this is dead in the water." And I've been learning more, been reading about the like industry that the budget typically needs to double before they break even. Like that, it's like it's weird. It's like how the studio works, and then half the budget goes to like distribution and stuff. It's like
a lot of times they don't even count the crazy, distribution like, budget, and it's usually wild.
Right. And so like. It's just like wild. Like you basically need to double your budget, and so they didn't. But
yeah,
it's still that's a good. I don't. Yeah, I just like I. Yeah, I'm sure there's probably like a few more components
involved.
Well,
that, like I guess that's the thing. You know, it's like
they killed it. But
this movie was like right in the middle between being like a fun, whimsical family movie and being like a hardcore, historically accurate, raw, you know, ship movie about a ship. And so it's just like they obviously discovered like the next year or whatever that like, oh, you go with the whimsical route and make the buttload of money from Pirates of the Caribbean. Where we're like, no, go the other way with it. But then, you know, you're not getting a fucking $150 million budget. That's for sure.
No, Pirates came out the same year. Oh. Pirates of the Caribbean was 2023 or it was 2003. So,
okay.
You know,
yeah. I wonder if that made sense then that they're just like, oh no, it's like going up against Pirates of the Caribbean. And they're like, everyone, your average moviegoer that they need to get meat in the seats to make that money back. It's like,
oh yeah, dude.
Or let's go see Master Commander, the Far Side of fucking Russell Crowe's asshole.
Yeah, Russell, like, I know. Russell Crowe with his ponytail. And then, but dude, that was Pirates of the Caribbean's budget was $140 million, and it grossed $700 million.
Peter Weir, what are you doing, man?
So I don't know. But yeah, I don't know why the budget was so great. They must have hit like production issues with using the ships and stuff and like everybody, but because I know Russell Crowe had to leave production for a friend's funeral. And so, like, it, you know, there's
chat funeral at sea. All right. Let's get on with it.
Yeah.
I got a couple of Reddits for you. So, Marl the, oh my God, I'm going to butcher this. Marl the Advent Guard Dog says, regarded by historians as truly authentic to the experience of selling one of those ships, which is dope. I want to see my sailing enthusiast on here because I'm like, I saw that comment before I watched the movie, and then obviously I don't comment until after I watch the movie. But then I'm like, oh yeah, of course, because it's like, honestly, that's why that was like one of the best parts about the movie. That's why I wish there was like more of it. Like I would have been down with a movie that's just like the crew being disgruntled and like, you know,
literally like I don't need the like other ship, the Phantom ship. Like, it would be fun to have that happen, and then literally just the rest of the movie
is them
navigating how to fix the ship, and then just doing trade up the coast and how they navigate. No more, we don't need the ship again. And that's kind of just his white whale, anyways. Yeah,
honestly. And then another opponent says it has the true feeling of an epic journey and probably the best naval movie set in the era of when wooden sailing ships were the ultimate weapons and forms of transportation. Also, the kid is probably the single best child actor in almost any movie I've ever seen. Little dude is a badass. That kid was really good. I told him to go watch Paper Moon, though, because that's the best child acting, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. Yeah.
But no, that kid, I wish I knew his name, because his character, I thought he was going to be like nothing, because he was obviously a kid. And he's like, oh, he's like, I know your dad, and so I'm checking on him. And then he like fucking takes a cannonball to the arm, and they have to amputate it, you know. But it's just like, as the movie goes on, the kid keeps showing up and like being a major part, and also being like fucking, like that's what feels authentic. Just like he, by the time he's 20, he's gonna have his own. Like he already has his own ship almost. Anyway, that kid was dope, and this movie is the best movie of that type because they don't fucking make them.
I know, yeah.
So, Clones of People 2 says, first watch, I have mixed feelings on this. From a realism point of view, it seems like it has a great production design and a true-to-life characters and really displays the authenticity of an 1850s wooden ship. The cinematography was very good at showing a sense of how crowded everything was, and it's well-directed to show all this. For me, where let me down was in the lack of depth in the secondary characters. Yes, there were a lot of interesting subplots, but I felt I didn't know enough about the actual characters, similar to Dead Poets Society. Also, and this is probably how the book is, but I think it would have been better if it was more of a cat and mouse with the other ship and the other captain. Having history between the two ships or seeing both points of view would have raised the stakes. Overall, it was watchable but a bit dull at times, 6 out of 10. I think I kind of agree with that. Like,
it's a fair
with the same flaws and same strengths, you know what I mean? It's like, I do think if they would have just stuck to the one thing, like this movie, like it wasn't that long, but it's like, you know, at over 2 hours, it felt like two books. You know what I mean? It's like if it would have been just about one or the other, I think it would have been stronger for it. Like if they would have been at sea and had their whole fucking thing with the Galapagos, or they would have had the tense cat and mouse. Because honestly,
yeah,
that opening, that my favorite scene by far, that opening scene was tense as fuck. They're like, wait, was that sails in the fog? And then it's like, you see the lights before you hear it. And he's like, hit the deck. And it's like, and it's just like, I don't know. Like, I was boned up. And so like when the rest of the movie wasn't like the same level of like seriousness and tension. And like, I was kind of like, I don't know, kind of fizzled out for me. Like I was still there for it, but like, I feel like it never reached the, like it started off so strong, never reached the heights of that scene. And if it would have been more of the tension, because like I said, it's like you forget they're chasing the ship. And so it's like, I don't know, be about that or don't. Anyway, thank you all you guys for commenting. I appreciate it. I also, I'll talk to you in a minute, but the, I want to post about the, because I did the survey thing, right? And did you do it? Did you do the survey?
I didn't see it.
Okay, well, I'm glad it wasn't you then, because there's a couple other people, but it was funny because I'll find a way to post it on the Reddit so we can see the
outcome here.
The outcome, but I was trying to remember the every person did a one word, like sum this movie up in one word, and I'm pretty sure they were epic, seaworthy, and boats.
Hell yeah. Nice.
So...
I love that. Anyway, I love that, guys. Thanks for the yeah.
Even though not a lot of people did it, I was like, it's kind of fun. So I'm going to keep doing it because I like it.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I love it. If you guys want to join in the action, come to r/ Coldest at Knowledge, dude. I'm not goofing around anymore. You guys may think it's the end of the pod, but I'm just getting started.
I know, yeah. Buckle up, buckaroo.
Yeah. Do you know what my favorite scene was? Is the Weevil scene. Because of the line when he goes, a man who would pun would soon pick a pocket.
Yeah.
I was like, hell yeah, that's dope.
He burns
line,
him
dude.
At the end. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really good, like, that's, they're like, dude, they're the relationship between the captain and the surgeon, like, they were, like, it was electric, dude. I was like, sometimes I was like, they were in a lover spat, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was the best. That was the best for sure. Because it's like, they were obviously the most developed, and it's like, you felt. When he got shot, like, that was also probably my other favorite part, is like when the doctor got shot,
I got nervous.
And then, but like, yeah, Russell, you know, Lucky Jack, he's like, no, we're going to go to the island. And you could tell he feels guilty about like burning him earlier, about being like, no, I'm the captain. You don't talk back to me. We're fuck you and my promise. But then he gets shot and he's like, you know what? You're right. This put things in perspective. And it's like, that's what I wish the movie was more of.
You're important to me.
Yeah. Because it's like, you know, he is the one character that calls him on his like hubris and his obsession. And then it's like, he gets shot and he's like, then he feels guilty and he takes a step back. But it's so subtle that I'm like, that should have been the focal point. Anyway.
No.
But it's really good. Yeah. That was really good.
Thank you, everybody. Let us know what your favorite part is on r/coldestoneofknowledge. Come to our YouTube channel. We've got people commenting on our YouTubes. That's
if you're there,
beautiful.
Hello.
YouTube. You guys are special. You guys are
it's a little taste for the biggest, for the YouTubers.
Probably the biggest brains. Oh dude, come to YouTube. It got X rated, baby. We appreciate all of you. If you wanna join in with your monies, with your dollars, that would be super great. We'd love that.
Yeah.
Come to Patreon and get some sweet tears, and we got some stuff in the
stickers,
works.
Stickers and extra podcasts.
I have like a tier. I'm gonna throw this your way in a production meeting. So you guys in podcast land can kind of hear a little behind the scenes. But I was thinking of making a tier that allows somebody to like maybe like a special vote or pick like a movie of the week. We'll see. We'll figure out some fancy tiers out there. But
I know
come to the Patreon, man. You get some dope ass stuff.
I told Pablo watched he watched Oppenheimer and Barbie, and he's like, you guys should do a podcast about those. And I was like, go to the fucking Patreon, bro.
I know, man. There's bonus episodes on the Patreon. Yeah. You guys want to hear us yabber, yabber, yabber? We got plenty of time.
Anyway.
20 hours.
Next week, we're watching Leviathan. So.
Hi, dude, I'm so excited. Your namesake.
I had to vote for it because I haven't seen it, but I remember it, my dad watching it when I was a kid, only because it has my name on it. So. Anyway,
all right,
so stay tuned for next week. We're going to keep it moving with
salty
the fucking
sailors.
We're going to keep it moving with the ocean stuff. This next week, we're going under the sea. Okay, goodbye.
Hell yeah, dude. I want to get prudy, baby. I can't wait.
Pruned up right now. All right. All right, I'm stopping.
Stop.